Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Nice to have y'all here. As always, a great, great show for you today. What I'm mainly talking about here is you. Yeah, I'm going to be answering many of your emails that you have written me through the last several weeks. I've had a lot of guests on, specialists, authors. And today what I decided to do was just take a lot of your emails, and I've contacted you and let you know that I'm going to be helping you and answering your questions today. So I'm dedicating the show to you, my listeners. And most of the questions, it's interesting, that I'm answering today have to do with relationship issues. Well, gee, yeah, that's what it's all about, right? I guess if we can have decent relationships, it helps us understand ourselves better. Yeah, but we also have to work on ourselves. So I'm going to be talking about that as well, how to make yourself better about who you are. In other words, helping you with your self-esteem issues. I also have some questions from you guys about how to break up with someone. Are there really ways? The best ways to break up with someone. Well, I'm always, you know, the kind of person that tries to get people together and stay together and keep healthy relationships. But sometimes, you know, it just's not going to work, no matter how hard you try. So I'm going to be helping one particular listener who emailed me with how to best break up with someone and not hurt them. Also, I'm going to give you a clue about understanding men, girls. Just give you a little heads up on why guys do the things they do. Now, I'm not going to be sexist and generalize all about men, because everybody's different. You know, we all have different types of characteristics. But I'm just going to be telling you a little bit more about men's thinking, because I have a lot of women who come into my office and ask me these questions. So I'll help you with those. And what else? Everything and anything to do with some of your own issues. Don't forget, you and I don't have a therapeutic relationship, really. I'm just here to give advice on the couch with Dr. Michelle. So you can call me if you'd like, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815, right here at the studios in Los Angeles. Or what you can do is you can email me. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle at AOL.com. Doc Michelle at AOL.com. So let's get started. I have a slew of emails. So give me a call as well if you'd like. Be patient if we put you on hold here, because that means I'm getting through answering someone else's question, and we'll try to get to yours as well. All right, cool. Let's begin now. Wow, this is a good one. This is from Sarah. And she says, "Hey, Doc, I've been seeing this guy exclusively for about 7 months. I feel very strongly about him, but want to know if what I'm feeling is the real deal. I've had some bad judgments in picking guys in the past. At first, I thought they were great, but it turned out that I lost interest in them." Or lost respect because of the way they live their lives. "I kind of don't trust my judgment in men. How can I be sure if my feelings of being in love with this guy are real?" Now, that is a really common question, but a lot of it has to do with maybe past trust issues. Sarah, you've been hurt in the past. You've been disappointed by people in the past. So before I tell you some questions to ask yourself, I just want you to go a little deep here with me. Let's peel back the onion, Sarah, a little bit, just a little bit. Who in your life in the past disappointed you? I'm not talking about guys. I'm talking about in your early environment. Growing up, who in the past disappointed you? Who in the past made you feel like you believed in them a lot and then they let you down? So just kind of think about that. Because what happens is if we have patterns, you know, from whoever, our parents, siblings, schoolmates, other relationships, you know, these patterns tend to, you know, wire in our brains of, ooh, yeah, I've had so many bad experiences in relationships that I just know they're all going to be bad. So we wire these things to the point to where we get to asking Dr. Michelle, how can I be sure if my feelings of being in love are real? Especially with this guy that you talk about, Sarah. So I want you to ask yourself some of these questions. Okay. Would you be willing to let him go if you believed it was the best thing to do? Think about that. If it was the best thing to do. Because you know what they say. If you really love somebody, you're going to let them go. If they're not good enough for you. Yeah. Ask yourself this one. Would I feel the same way if he gained weight? If he really porked up and got a little more unattractive to me. In other words, is it all about looks and sex? You got to kind of think about that. Because if you're in a long-term relationship, we change sometimes. We get lazy, we get busy, and sometimes we fluctuate in our appearance. You know, you hear the old story about after we get married, guys just kind of let it all hang out. Not a lot of guys these days, though. But anyway, I want you to also ask yourself, Sarah, am I willing to sacrifice my dreams just a little bit to allow his dreams to come true? Sometimes in relationships, things happen to where one or both of us need to come up to the plate and help with the finances. Yeah, whatever the problem may be, whatever the cause may be. So are you willing to kind of push back a little bit if he has these amazing dreams? Or is it going to be all about you meeting your dreams? I mean, you know, hopefully both of you guys could, you know, follow your dreams and work hard. What are your plans? What do you want to do in your life? Are you both on the same page? So you're still asking yourself, Sarah, how can your feelings of love be sure about this guy? Well, do you respect him? It's not all about sex, fireworks, excitement, having fun, and all that. Do I respect and admire him for who he is and what he does? Does he have a great moral character? Does he say what he says he's going to do? Is he trustworthy? Now, I know you said you had some issues with not knowing quite if he was the right one or how to know if you're in love. You don't trust your own feelings, but do you trust him? Is he repeatedly showing you that he is doing things he says he's going to do? Does he follow up? Does he show commitment? All right. Well, ask yourself this one. Would you feel the same way if he got really ill, really sick, and you had to take care of him? Interesting. Also, if you too were in a bad argument, would you feel the same way about him? Let's say you're screaming and yelling and it was a horrible, whatever the, I don't know, issue may be. And he said some things that really hurt you and you said some things that were really inappropriate just because you're angry. We all do that sometimes. Would you feel the same way or would it shift you? Some people get dramatically shifted if they get into a huge argument with someone and they feel attacked or disrespected. You know, the whole thing is you got to talk it out. You've got to tell them how you felt about how they attacked you verbally. Now, if he's physically attacking you, get out of there. I mean, you're out of there. But you know what I'm saying. You've got to work these things out. So if you answered no to any of these questions, I want you to think about why you gave that answer. And again, do you have trust issues? Are you afraid? Are you a little bit selfish, Sarah? Maybe you need a little bit more time to grow. And this is what I'm seeing in a lot of couples who come to see me in my practice, is a lot of people need to take their time. Women, more women than men who come in to see me are like, you know, they're like 3 years ahead. You know, should we think about moving in together? You've been dating for 4 months? No, not. Well, you know, he's talking about kids, but I really want kids. And I, don't go there. Don't you go there yet. Mm-mm. You've got to take your time. You've got to see how this person, again, you know, handles life, handles you, takes care of you, and vice versa. They have to see how you, you know, go through life's issues. And it's not always all fun and games. And I'm not saying it's a downer. See, life's journey in a relationship is all about growth and understanding and deepening your love and appreciating how each other goes through stuff. So I want you to think about those things. All right? If you're wondering if you're in love, it's often because you might base a decision on your answer. So be careful, okay? So look at respect, commitment, trust. Take your time. And thank you so much for emailing me at docmichelle@AOL.com. And you're on the couch here, and I've got a lot of other listeners' emails that I'm going to be answering today. You can email me if you'd like at docmichelle@AOL.com. I'm grabbing quite a few today from a selection of emails that I've received over the last month or so. I'll let you know that I'm going to be helping you out today. If you want to call in live, 323-203-0815. That'd be really cool if you want to let me know what's going on. All right, here we go. This is a good one. I like this one. This is from Trish. She says, I've been in an on-and-off relationship for about 3 years with a man who I thought was in love with me and that I was in love with him. But we argue a lot. The thing we argue most about is his drug relapses. Red flag. Thought I'd throw that out there. Trish, sorry. We also argue about his loss of jobs and his borrowing money from his friends and me. He has a good heart. He's really great looking, has a lot of friends, but loses them as well. He's been in and out of rehab 3 times for his cocaine addiction. I'm getting tired of being a codependent caregiver, so I've decided to break up with him once and for all. I want someone who cares about me and not this drug. Can you give me some advice about breaking up? I'm scared of being alone. I guess you could say I'm very codependent. And I don't want to come off like a mean girl to him and all his friends. Well, first of all, here's the thing. Let's see. 3 years you've hung in there with this guy, I'm reading. And, you know, you're trying to deal with the cocaine Jones that he has. He's been in and out of rehab several times. And you've hung in there. Sounds to me like you've been really hoping for the best, Trish, that he's going to get clean and get through this. But sounds like you're done. You're pretty done. First of all, you're not going to come off like a mean girl if you just take control and kindly communicate with him your feelings and not scream and yell. Here you say you have a lot of arguments. So the thing is yeah, you get really upset and tired and you know, want to argue with someone about why are they not willing to get off a particular drug, especially cocaine. Woo. And that can fuel his anger as well. So you guys sound like you have a lot of drama. So I would say for you, Trish, just get out of the drama. Give it up. Ask yourself why you've been hanging in there for so long with this person. Hopefulness? Good for you. You get a badge for being a hopeful person. But after a while, you got to look down the road there and say, this person's not hearing me and not willing to help themselves and therefore our relationship. So it's kind of hard to give breaking up advice because, like I said, I'm all for people coming together and helping each other to work through issues. But if he's just not willing to get himself clean, he doesn't have self-respect and maybe he has chemical issues. Chemical imbalance, he's inherited substance abuse stuff from his family, whatever. I get that, and that's all good. That's very, you know, sad. But there comes a time, especially if you have a loving girlfriend like yourself who tries to pick you up and get you through rehab, that it just, there's nothing you can do to change him. You can't fix him if he doesn't want to help himself. All right. So this is just stuff that I'm telling you so you can build up your own strength to do this. So don't bottle up your feelings. If you have friends, Trish, talk to them about your feelings. And this is a time when you can lean on folks that you can trust. You know, everybody's been through something, right? So you can learn from people you trust. And I have a sneaking suspicion, if you have good friends and family support, Trish, that they've probably been telling you to get out of this relationship for a long time. Right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on is hard to do. You said it's really difficult because you don't want to be alone. Listen, it's better to be alone than to be with someone who is harmful to you and themselves. Of course. You got to think about your future. What would it be like? Do you want kids? Do you want, what do you want? Are you going to always have to be giving this guy money? Yeah. So it's healthy to think about your relationship coming to an end, you know? And you can evaluate what went wrong and how you can grow and mature in your next relationship, right? So you have to sort of go through a slow mourning process. You know, there is always the loss of a relationship, especially, you said, 3 years. That's a long time to hang in there, girl. But you have to go through certain mourning phases. And those are, you know, they have the acronym DABDA, D-A-B-D-A, denial, you know, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. You have to go through these stages, you know, because you have been in a relationship for 3 years. So it is like a loss, mourning of a loss. You've got to save yourself and move on. And you're not going to come off like a mean girl. You present it lovingly, kindly. You're not willing to help yourself. And therefore, you're not willing to help us in our relationship. I know you have chemical imbalance, but this is tough. You need to get serious professional help and stay on your track of whatever groups, whatever sponsors, whatever. And show me that you really want to make this work, because I'm not willing to spend my life with someone who doesn't care enough about himself and myself to make it work. So that's the way you do the whole thing. You just sit down. I would suggest in a public place, because he may go ballistic, especially if he's high, whatever. And say, this is it. I just can't go through this. Say what I suggested you might say in your own words. And let him know first. Don't tell any of your friends. Because just don't even put it out there on social media. Don't even do it. Okay? Keep it on the down low. Do it in person, in a public place. In, you know, face to face. Don't do any of this passive aggressive stuff. You know, texting or emailing or whatever you do. Don't do it. Mm-mm. Choose, like I said, a really good setting and be simple and honest. Keep it simple and honest. Write down a script for yourself if you have to, so you're not all flustered and feeling horrible like the bad person. You're not a bad person. You're trying to save your sanity and help him as well. And if he falls down and has suffering and, you know, you are the cause of him using more, that's really not, you are not the cause of his using more. You are not that, I'm telling you. You know, you've been there, it sounds like, for him for a very long time. So I really want you to hang in there and be strong, get support from your friends, family, and Dr. Michelle, what I just said, really might help you out. Thank you so much for emailing me, Trish, and I wish you good luck. You're not a mean girl. You're a patient girl who's been a caregiver. So how's that? All right. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here, and I encourage you all to call. I'm helping people out today with relationship issues, questions, self-esteem, how to understand men, and many more issues. You and I don't have a therapeutic relationship, guys, but I'm just giving you advice here on the air. Suggestions, ideas, things you don't necessarily have to follow, just things to think about. You can call me as well if you'd like, 323-203-0815. Of course, the email here is docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL. And it's always nice to have you listening, folks. I want to also thank my special person today who is sponsoring the show, glowsoulwear.com. We're going to be talking about the awesome clothing line and also some of the other cool things that they offer to raise your vibration, make you feel good. That's glowsoulwear.com. All right, we have somebody on the air here to help out on the couch. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Simon.
Simon, how are you today?
I'm good, doctor. I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous. I've never been on radio. I love your show. Wow. I'm 28, and I've been in some long-term relationships. Doc, the problem is that I always seem to get into these situations with women who I can take care of.
Uh-huh.
Basically, I find myself always... I always end up trying to boost their self-esteem or helping them with their family problems. I just don't know why I attract these kinds of women. I feel like I'm a good person. I am a computer programmer.
Okay.
I do work a lot.
Yeah.
But I was always helping my friends throughout high school and college with their relationship issues.
Yeah,
and,
you've been the listener friend, huh?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to consider myself that. But,
okay.
And a lot of people have told me in the past that I have helped them, with their relationships and stuff. But
yeah.
It seems to be a paradox. It's like I can help everyone else with their relationships, but when it comes to me and my relationships, I can never get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doc, I'm asking you, why do I keep attracting these women, and what are some good qualities that you can give me to look for in a girl so I don't keep getting into these same relationships with what I've now called, I've defined it as broken, crazy women, broken, crazy girls.
Well, that's pretty good. I like that, Simon.
What they are.
Oh, that's sad, you know. And, you know, bless your heart for being that guy, you know, who's everybody else's therapist. You're everybody else's therapist. You've helped a lot of your friends. And it sounds to me like you're one of those, you know, caregiver-type personalities that I was talking about a little bit earlier. You're great, like you said, at helping other people and seeing their own stuff objectively. But when it comes to your own personal, you know, questions and you know, falling for girls that you call, what did you call them? Crazy?
Broken
and crazy. Well, you know, I'm so sorry you're having to, you know, find these people. You know, maybe you're just one of those kind of fixer guys. And
I feel like I always have been, but
yeah.
I want to start fixing myself. I want to start fixing my relationship
sure.
so I can go on with my life and have a wonderful life.
So great for you, Simon. Do you think you deserve a good person? Do you think you deserve a good relationship?
Yes.
You do?
I really do.
Okay.
I mean, I've definitely, what do they say, paid my dues.
Okay, right. There's, you know,
it's my turn, I feel.
Yeah, sure. You sound like a great guy. And there's no judgment, you know, from me here. But sometimes when we have that, it's really kind of psychobabble, old school stuff. But it's true. It's the codependency. In other words, we have a mindset sometimes that if we find certain people to have relationships with who we can save, right, who we can, you know, fix or save or help, it'll make them want us more. You know what I'm saying? So you've got to kind of look at some of the women you might be picking. Do you feel that, you know, and ask yourself this, Simon, do you feel like you have to save these people? You might take your time and understand that you've always been attracted to helping people. So you're going to attract those kind of women who need help. So you're kind and you're nice. And again, you sound really intelligent and successful and all
thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well,
that
true.
So much coming
sure.
from you, doctor.
Oh, but you need to deserve more. You need to convince yourself that you do deserve more. So when you meet women, okay, sounds like you've been in relationships, so it's not difficult for you to meet women. You're around a lot of people, right?
Yes.
I think I would ask yourself about the people you're dating. So when you start meeting someone and you're starting to get to know them, you need to kind of check out their commitment to personal growth, right? You know, like, how have they grown? Are they mature? How are they doing in their lives? Are they able to, you know, make a living? Are they able to care for themselves? Are they emotionally through some of their old stuff? Are they mature? Mm. Are they asking you a little too much for help? So you have to identify that. And if they are pulling on you, you have to go the other way. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, you know, a great thing is to look for is emotional openness in someone. Not someone who's a drama person and so open that they tell you everything in their lives. And, you know, because you're a good listener, it sounds like to me. So,
thank you.
Yeah, find someone who's emotionally open and honest. You know, that's a really good one. Also, look for integrity in someone. You know what I'm saying? Are they? Yeah,
that's a really great word. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, I'm taking notes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just taking notes. I'm listening to you, Doc. That's integrity. That hasn't even occurred to me, a woman with integrity. Wow.
Yeah, and do you respect them? I mean, you really have to think about respect. I mean, that's a huge thing in a relationship. Do you respect them for taking care of themselves? You know, do they have integrity? Have they really, you know, sort of stepped up to the plate to try to work through some of their stuff? And if they don't have that much stuff, just are they open? Do they have integrity? Are they pretty honest people? And that comes with my next point is just kind of see if they're mature and responsible. You have to kind of look at that. Are they mature? You know?
Well, it seems like the first couple weeks when we meet, they're very mature and everything is wonderful.
Right.
Of course, you know, they have a couple problems. Who doesn't? Everybody has problems,
right.
You know, and everyone gets into talking. But then after a month, once I decide that I really like this person, what seems to happen almost every single time without fail is there will be a big change in the way that they start acting towards me, communicating towards me. There is a difference. It's they become different people.
Yes.
It's like all of a sudden their problems come out.
Oh,
their
wow.
problems come
sure.
to the surface.
Sure.
And then they expect me to be the solution to, you know, their dad problems, their mom problems,
right.
problems from the past. And I'm
right.
here to help as much as I can, but
yeah.
I have my own problems too. I can't
sure.
take on everyone else's problems just to stay in a relationship. I feel like there should
well,
be
of course.
A balance.
That's right,
Doctor?
That's exactly right, Simon. And that's where you have to draw boundaries. You have to start getting these clues. And this is why, like I said at the earlier part of the show, too, it takes a while to get to know someone. So before you fall head over heels, and sometimes it's hard not to with someone because it may be flattering and they may be coming off like they're really interested in you and it's all good and the sex is good and everything's fun. You know, you have to take your time and take care of yourself and sort of think about these things. Observe. You know, you're a good observer, like you said, and you help other people with their problems. You have to observe, be that observer with yourself and say, is this person responsible? Are they mature? Do they take care of themselves? Do they have honesty? Do they have integrity? And another big one I was going to suggest to look at, Simon, is self-esteem. Do they have self-esteem? You know,
most of them haven't.
Well, that's the problem, right?
Most of them haven't,
and you're attracting that maybe because you are, like I said, that sort of open, touchy-feely, emotionally guy, which is nice. It's wonderful. A lot of women want that. They always complain about guys not listening, you know, or being there for them. So you're that guy, but you know, just it's great to be there, but the definition of a healthy relationship, one of the definitions, is not to have to pick someone up all the time and caregive them emotionally, financially.
Well,
you know,
then I have not been in healthy relationships.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, somehow you got into this loop ever since you were younger about being that guy who helps everybody else. So you get to be that guy.
You're
that
helps.
No,
you're good.
It's pretty much common sense. Thank
wow.
you. You're very cute. I love that. But thanks for the compliment. But you've got to take
it's
care
true.
Of yourself, honey. And also you have to look for the positive attitudes in a partner. If they have more or less a positive attitude towards life, they're the kind of glass half full kind of person rather than glass
right.
half empty, right? And you know what? It's yeah. going to work out. I'm going to overcome this problem. I'll be okay because, you know, you got to look for people, like I said, who, you know, are pretty self-sustaining and are positive and do show that they have some decent amount of self-esteem.
Right.
You do need to set your
right.
boundaries, though. You need to set your boundaries and take a look at why you need to caregive and fix other people, because it may make
yeah.
you feel better about yourself. But it's lovely to help people.
I think it does. I think that on a deep level it does. And mm-hmm. and doc, I've been to psychologists. I've talked to them about
Good.
My relationship
Good.
Problems. And stuff. I've always listened to your show. I just figured I had the will. I'd call and just ask. But what I've been told from other psychologists in the past is that I am gaining. They've told me that I'm seeking that in women because it's something that I fulfill in me.
Yes.
It's like, it's not them that is needing the help. It's me
right.
that is getting fulfillment by helping them.
Well, that's right.
But,
and that's right.
But the problem, and I will agree with that. I do feel good when I can help someone and when I can, you know, show them a new way to view something that might shine a brighter light on the situation that they're on. Of course, I do feel better. But it's now starting to heavily interfere with
right.
me even believing whether I'm deserving enough of having a normal woman and a
right.
normal relationship.
Right.
I feel like
right.
I'm now just this boyfriend therapist.
Yeah, well, that's
that
not okay.
It's just getting passed down to all the broken crazies.
Well, you get to choose, Simon. That's the thing. You get to choose and take a look at, you know, those qualities that I suggested that you take a look at.
Yeah.
When you really start
yeah.
to get to know someone, ask yourself those questions. Do they have integrity? Are they mature? Are they drama queens? Can they take care of themselves? And if you start feeling like someone's depending on you, because you are a good listener, because you are open, because you are there and trying to be that, you know, again, you don't have to be that. You can draw boundaries. Because a lot of times when you get in relationships and you are the one who's always giving and caring and giving advice and being there, you start
right.
to resent them a little bit, right?
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
exactly. Doctor,
you don't want to be
exactly,
that.
You're in my head, Doc. They're in my head, Doc.
Well,
that's
you know,
exactly what happens.
Well,
I start to
yeah.
get mad at them, and then
yeah.
they, like, I can't stand to be with them, and then I
right.
can't stand to literally see them, and then
sure.
every time they call, I start avoiding their calls, and then obviously, of course, that's when we break up.
That's well, that's right.
I end up breaking
well,
it
good
off.
For
and
you.
They're always upset, and they always get mad at me and say how I'm such a bad person and let them down, and it's really emotionally tolling on me.
This is why you have to look for the signs and really take your time with relationships, get to know people before you jump in trying to save them, because you have to look for these signs. And when you can start to draw boundaries, when you see some of these needy signs and you start to caregive emotionally and you start feeling like, oh, I can fix this person, you can't fix anybody. And you gotta,
yeah.
again, Simon, look at yourself. Why do I need to fix someone to make myself feel better? So a lot
right.
of it boils down to your own self-esteem. And I'm going to be answering, actually, I'm going to be answering an email from Adam in just a bit about things to remember to help, you know, boost your own self-esteem. So maybe you can just check that out, keep
good.
Listening, and that might make you think about some things.
Of
but
course.
Simon, I thank you so
Bye.
Much for listening and calling in on the show and for being so open to share your stuff. We think you're great. Engineer is nodding the head. My engineer just gave the thumbs up. I like Simon.
Oh, that means so much to me. You're literally my favorite show on ever. I love On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Dr. Michelle, I love you so much. You've helped me in more ways than you could ever imagine. I listen to you every Friday at 11. I thank you so much. I have all your podcasts, and I go to your website all the time, Talk Show Therapist. Thank you so much. You're a great guy.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in, Simon. Stay in touch. Love to hear from you again. Let me know how some of that advice is going. And keep seeing another therapist about building your own self-esteem and, you know, being a codependent kind of caregiver type kind of guy. No judgment, Simon. It's just that's what I'm just saying there. All right?
You're the best, Doc. I love you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Bless your heart for calling. Have a good one, Simon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, what a lovely call. See, that makes me feel so good. I call for the compliments. See what a codependent person I am? This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch here today. I want you to know that today's show is sponsored by Glow Soulwear, the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with beautiful sacred geometry designs. Wear your vibration and lighten up. Check out glowsoulwear.com. That's glow, G-L-O-W, soulwear, S-O-U-L-W-E-A-R.com. I love to wear those Glow Soulwear t-shirts. It makes me feel lighter. It makes me feel good to have sacred G on my body. So thanks, guys, for sponsoring the show today, as usual. All right, we were just talking to Simon about his own kind of need to fix and caregive a lot of women in his life. And today, what I'm doing is I'm taking calls and also emails from listeners about, you know, your personal issues and questions that you might have. Keep in mind, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. But, you know, what I do here is I just suggest ideas and, you know, give you some things to think about. All right. As I mentioned that, Simon might think about elevating his self-esteem and, you know, going to see a therapist and working on that. I got another email here, and this is perfect because it's from Adam, and he's a great writer. So, Adam, thank you so much for emailing me here. He says, there was a time in my life when I didn't believe in myself. Having grown up in your average dysfunctional family, I found myself in the role of peacekeeper and people pleaser. From a young age, I believed if I was compliant and accommodating, I could keep everyone happy and prevent the crazy behavior going on around me. Think about that one. On a deeper level, I was afraid of being emotionally abandoned. When my efforts didn't work, I tried harder. Needless to say, over time, I trained myself to stuff down my own feelings for fear that I'd rock the boat further. In certain areas of my life, this pattern continued into young adulthood. During confrontational situations, I either backed down quickly or avoided engaging altogether. And, wow, this is a great email. Although I was rewarded for being a pleaser, eventually my self-esteem began to waver. I had false beliefs that I wasn't good enough if I didn't comply to the wants and needs of others. And he said, when you get to this point, your psyche and sometimes your body begin to revolt. I had raging generalized anxiety, as my therapist called it, accompanied by weird, unexplainable physical pains. Can you help me with some tips to overcome low self-esteem? I'm still working on it. Adam, you are a superstar. Thank you so much for being so honest and sharing this information with me. Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, I think you just sort of explained a lot of your own background. You know, you were a people pleaser and you had to make whoever, your parents, I don't know, happy by being the fun guy, the one that kept everybody safe and happy because the craziness was going on around you. So you were afraid of being emotionally abandoned. You nailed it right on, Adam. That was probably what was going on. So then we learn these patterns, you know, we wire ourselves to be a person in an environment who may be the caregiver of everybody or the one who defocuses all the drama or whatever it may be. So that's what you do is you kind of wire yourself. And after years, that's how you are. That's how your personality is. You're that guy who helps everybody else and has to entertain everyone and keep everybody happy because, God forbid, you're emotionally abandoned and You don't want to be in the craziness. So I get that. Bless your heart. Okay. So how do we overcome some self-esteem issues? I mean, you just have to realize, and I know this is kind of simple, but I mean, going back to simple really helps us sometimes. So when you're having a low self-esteem day, you've got to remind yourself that you deserve more than the negative beliefs that you've cloaked yourself in. So you deserve more than all those negative things, or, ooh, I have to be the one, or everybody, you know, has to be happy around me, or I'm not good enough because then I'm going to be emotionally abandoned. Okay? Accepting this intellectual just might help you change your thoughts when your beliefs try to pull you down. So, you know, you don't have to be a performer. You have one life, you know? You really have to think about this. Do you really want to let others determine how you live? Do you want to give away your precious life to fears of being abandoned by being that guy who's so up and wonderful and is kind of like Simon in the last call, kind of caregiving for everybody? It's okay to live with little discomfort. It's okay. I know it was scary probably growing up. You talk about the crazy behavior going on around you, and I have no idea what you suffered, but I have sort of an idea. I've heard it before. Been there, done that. So, you know, it's okay to live with a little discomfort. A lot of people won't always like us. A lot of people will abandon us. It's okay. It's all right. It's not about us many times. You just have to allow discomfort sometimes. You have to accept it. Everybody's not going to like you. It's all right. Also accept that mistakes and failure are good, Adam. Really, I know. Well, sometimes we lack self-esteem because we're really messed up in some way and view ourselves as worthless, right? We think we're worthless because we're not perfect, you know? Mistakes and failure really reveal a willingness to take risk and try. So it's not always going to work out perfectly. You don't have to hang on and make everything perfect, and you know? And many times thoughts and beliefs aren't reality. You know, we talked about, you know, earlier on the show about our thoughts and how they grow. And you admitted it yourself of, you know, kind of being in that habitual situation with your family all those years and how you had to be the fixer. So low self-esteem is the result of years of being kind of messed up in your thinking. All right. But the triggering events may be over. You may not still be in that crazy family, but your thoughts and feelings about it go on and on. Right. And we continue to feel like we're in the original, you know, event or that environment or something like that. They just kind of carry with us. But how is your life now? Try to look at all the great things that you do and all the great things you are. And action always helps, too, rather than ruminating on how bad you're feeling about yourself. Do something positive and productive. Do fun stuff for you. You know, if you don't like your job, try to make the best of it, but do other things that you like about you. Help other people. You know, don't compare yourself to other people. It's toxic. You know, so many people I see in my practice compare themselves to other people. Well, this person has this much achievement and this much education and this much money, and they have all the girls. And then live your one unique life the best way you can. Don't worry about what others are doing. Do the best you can and carry on. You see what I'm saying? And if you want healthy relationships, it begins with self-like and self-love eventually, you know? Because when you have low self-esteem, Adam, your relationships suffer. A lack of confidence and neediness, they're really unattractive, and it kind of pushes others away from you. It makes your low self-esteem worse, and you're only going to attract those people who are really needy and make you feel worse about yourself. So people-pleasing backfires, right? Being a people-pleaser doesn't promote self-esteem, or it doesn't foster any authentic, intimate relationships, you know? You might get a temporary boost from some positive reinforcement, but over time you lose your sense of self and your respect for yourself, right? So please yourself first. Get the confidence to make sound decisions about dealing with the wants and needs of others. You know, don't be that people-pleaser guy you talked about. And don't be passive-aggressive. That's pretty unhealthy as well. All right? Adam, thank you so much for emailing me. This is a great question, and I hope I helped you out. Do get some therapy, too, for that, because, I mean, that's a huge issue, you know, growing up and having to be that guy who was the people pleaser. And you beat yourself up. You get mad at yourself, and it goes around and around in circles. So try not to do that and stay well. Okay, another email here. this I love this one. It's just so good. This one comes from Ariel. Thank you so much for emailing me this. I don't understand men. I never have. My boyfriend tells me that I'm not attentive enough to him. And then when I do, he doesn't seem to be like he's always there. He seems zoned out and doesn't listen to me. He complains a lot about my talking. Can you help me understand some things that guys do so that I can be a better girlfriend? By the way, he's awesome, has a great heart, and really is a good catch. Okay. All right, Ariel. Let me just give you some things here. Here's the thing. Men will talk about feelings. You know, they will. Yeah, but you can't be smothering him with your problems a lot. And how can I, you know, reaching out and how, you know, listen to me. I need to hear you. I need to hear you respond to me. Sometimes men say, I love you with actions. Some men prefer to show their feelings through actions rather than words. That's an old school thing, but I'm just saying it again. And your guy may say, I love you by, oh gosh, fixing things for you. Helping you with certain solutions to problems, helping you with computer stuff, anything that makes your world a better place. They fix stuff. That's how a lot of guys say, I love you. Men do take commitment seriously, so maybe he needs some downtime and is zoned out and is thinking about some other things. And if you ask him, what are you thinking about when he seems like he's somewhere else? You know, if he says, oh, I'm not, he probably is, and that's okay. He really is listening. Yeah. You know, so some guys just don't kind of say, I'm listening. Yes, they may be. You know, just because a guy isn't saying anything doesn't mean he's not listening. Okay. Also, understand that guys really dig shared activities because that forms bonds. Mm-hmm. Guys strengthen their relationships with partners through doing things together more than sharing thoughts or feelings. For a lot of guys, activities like sports and sex make them feel closer to their partner. Guys need time for themselves, Ariel. They just do. So do women. You know? A lot of guys can let go faster of a relationship than women. They can. A lot of times, guys don't pick up on subtle cues. A lot of men do pick up on appreciation, and they show it, but they do it through actions. All right? I'm trying to think of other things that you said here, Ariel. Guys aren't always up for sex, but they like it when you initiate it. That's another idea. And also, men can stray when their needs are not met. But most of the time, if you get a good guy who has sort of a healthy attitude towards life and he is trustworthy and he does communicate somewhat with you and you said all those good things about him to me, which it sounds like he's a pretty good catch. Sounds to me like he's a good guy. You have to be patient and understand a little bit more. And, you know, we as women sometimes talk a little too much. So guys tend to sometimes tune out because they want to fix the problem. They want to, you know, see what they can do to help. And sometimes just asking him to, hey, just listen. You don't have to respond. You don't have to fix the problem helps. So those are some ideas for you to think about, Ariel. And I really appreciate you emailing me here at docmichelle@aol.com. It's about that time. My gosh, the show went by fast. Thank you so much, guys, for all of your emails. Thank you so much for your call. And Simon, you're awesome. If you're still listening to the show, thanks for being so honest and sharing your feelings with us. Amazing. All right, it's about time to go. We're going to be talking more about relationships and how to help yourself next week. So you got to be sure and tune in here to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. As I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. All right. Have a great week. I'll be back next week. Dr. Michelle, out. Bye-bye.
Flashing rays of colored light.